And now let us pray. O Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts prove to be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and salvation. Amen. Well, this year, 2017, is a big year for anniversaries, historical events that have touched all of our lives. 2017 is a time to remember. Remember these acts and how they've shaped the world. For example, a couple weeks ago, we joined with Christians around the world right before Halloween to remember that this year is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation. Not only did that act by a German monk by the name of Martin Luther reshape history, the history of the church. Indeed, even if for non-Protestants, it shaped the history of Western civilization itself. We've all been touched by the Reformation. Last week, we remembered a regrettable anniversary. 100 years ago, November 7th, Lenin and his Bolsheviks overthrew the Russian provisional government in a near bloodless coup, thus ushering in, one may argue, the most tyrannical and bloody movement in human history. Communism that's started in Russia, spread to Eastern Europe, China, Cuba, and North Korea today. This year was another centennial opportunity for us to remember 100 years ago this April, as the United States entered World War I, the war to end all wars, as we joined the Allies, France and Britain, in the trenches in Western Europe. And that had an effect on us, even to this day. Up to that time, it was our hope as a nation to stay out of European conflicts. But with that decision 100 years ago to send our boys over there, this morning we send some of our nation's finest men and women over there, literally around the globe. It changed the history of the world. And then finally, a quieter anniversary this year. This year marks the 60th anniversary of a book winning the Pulitzer Prize. It was written by a former Navy officer and ambitious Massachusetts politician by the name of John F. Kennedy. His book was entitled Profiles in Courage. Many of you had to read that in high school or college, and you may remember Profiles in Courage. Each chapter tells the story of some brave decision by an American political leader, all the way from John Quincy Adams to Robert A. Taft. There's some debate whether or not Kennedy actually wrote the book. They certainly say that John F. Kennedy had the vision, he had the outline, but was he the one that actually sat down and pounded it out at the typewriter? There's some debate about that. But nonetheless, having this added to his resume, a Pulitzer Prize, helped in his ultimate goal to become the leader of the free world. And we know the history since. Well, today, for us to get a handle on our next one another imperative, 59 that we find in the New Testament, this vision of what life within the Jesus community, the beloved community, is to look and feel like, the texture, the color of life of the church. To get a handle on encourage one another, I'd like for us to consider not necessarily a profile in courage, but a profile of encouragement. I'd like for us for just a few moments to talk about the Bible's greatest encourager, an apostle, an early church leader by the name of Barnabas. Learning from Barnabas can help all of us up our encouragement game. So further ado, let's jump in. Barnabas, church tradition says that Barnabas was one of the itinerant preachers that Jesus sent out. You may remember the story of Jesus sending the 70 to announce the good news of God's peaceful kingdom. And in that account, Luke's gospel, Jesus sends out Barnabas and the rest. Let's just assume Barnabas was there. Barnabas and the 69 with these words, "I am sending you like lambs among the packs of wolves." You know, not Jesus' most inspiring sermon. But they went anyway to announce the kingdom and to do exactly what Jesus was doing. But in a strange twist, Jesus tells them as they go that they are not to take any money, no money in their pockets, no baggage, no luggage, and no sandals. And at the end, when the 70 return, Luke says they returned with joy, having been used by God even to cast out the demons. So if tradition's right, Barnabas was there, walking barefoot, trusting God each moment for provision. What this tells us something, the beginning of an encourager, is that an encourager is a person who always sees the glass full, not just half full, always sees the glass full, because that was his experience in that early mission. I know in today's world, this is a word that we need to hear. Our glass is full. God has given us everything that we need to successfully navigate this moment in our life, the business we're part of, and even the church. Sometimes we hear this around here. If we only had more people at Epworth, we could do greater things. Or if we had more money, what could God do? Or if we had a better pastor around here, we can really do great things for the kingdom of God. Friends, it takes no imagination to focus upon what we may lack in our personal lives, our professional lives, and even our life within the beloved community. But this is the testimony of Barnabas and the 70. God gives us what we need to successfully navigate this moment. God gives us the Spirit. God gives us gifts and graces. We have all that we need to fulfill the call that God has for us now. Encouraging people are people who don't just see the glass half full. They see the glass as full, trusting in God. Secondly, Barnabas was a person who had the ability to see the full potential of the person right in front of him. Now, for many of us, we may not, Barnabas, there's no extended commentary or story in the New Testament about Barnabas. We find him mentioned in Acts and a couple of the pastoral epistles. We have to string together what his life looked like. But when you hear Barnabas, what other name comes to mind? Where are my disciple 1, 2, 5, 6, 10 graduates? Paul, or so, I already gave you the answer. Barnabas and Paul go together. And this is how this relationship began. You know the story of Paul. Paul was a persecutor of the church. He held the coats of those who threw stones and killed Stephen, the church's first deacon. But Paul met Jesus, and his life was radically changed on the road to Damascus. Fell off his horse, was blinded by the light, and came to become a follower of Jesus himself. But more than that, more than having a change of life, a change of faith, Paul had a call of God. He knew that he was to take the good news of Jesus and share it with the Gentiles, the Greeks, the Romans, etc. Well, in order to start his ministry, you know, he had to go see the Board of Ordained Ministry. He had to have some authorization from First Church, literally First Church in Jerusalem. Now, it was Ronald Reagan who said, "Trust but verify," in relationship with the Russians. But long before Reagan said this, the first apostles, Peter, James, John, and the rest, said, I don't even know if we're willing to trust, but we certainly need to verify. How could it be that this man goes from being a persecutor of the way, the church, to now wanting to be a champion, to take the gospel all the way to Rome itself? Well, when he came to Jerusalem, the door of the church was closed to him, But Barnabas saw Paul's potential. He opened up his own home, offered him hospitality and fellowship. And then the next day, he marched across the street to the door of First Church and knocked and said, "Brothers, you've got to hear how Jesus has changed our brother and the great call that God has on his life." You see, friends, being an encourager is more than sending a card or listening empathetically to someone who is discouraged. It means at times standing as an advocate for the one who is discouraged. It is standing before others or an institution to say, "This person has potential." So when you think about it, the profile of an encourager, we can see it as a profile of courage. Barnabas was so willing to see the full potential of others that some argue that that may have been his downfall. You see, after then Paul was authorized, Barnabas and Paul began traveling, starting these congregations, preaching the story of Jesus to the Gentiles. Everything was going great. These two fit together like hand and glove. But then one day, Barnabas's cousin by the name of Mark said, "You know what? I'm getting a God nudge too. I want to share the good news of Jesus with the Gentiles." Well, Barnabas saw his full potential, said, "Jump on board." Now it's Paul who is, we need to trust but verify here. Paul didn't think he had what it took to be an apostle like him and Barnabas. But Paul relented. Now, all of us know what it feels like to fail, do we not? All of us know what it means sometimes to cut and run. I think, for example, when I called home with tears in my eyes as a 10-year-old boy at summer camp, a tenderfoot scout or first class, begging that my mom would come and bring me home, that was Mark. Something happened along the way. Maybe it was the opposition. Maybe he didn't see people's lives changed by sharing Jesus. Something changed, but Mark cut and run. One night, he gets up and he leaves. He goes home. Now, in another season, Mark, who has grown now chronologically and he has grown in his own spiritual maturity, reaches out again to Paul and Barnabas and says, "Can I join the movement here and be a leader and announce the good news of Jesus?" Barnabas, to a fault, sees the full potential. He says, "Yeah, you should come again. I mean, Christianity, it's all about second chances, right?" Interestingly, Paul says no. Paul, remember, the apostles didn't see the full potential in him. Now he says, "No way we're taking Mark back. This kid, he's a mama's boy. He's going to cut and run again. No way am I traveling with that kid." Well, and arguably the first split in church history, Paul and Barnabas, over this issue of seeing the potential in Mark, they split. They go their separate ways. Paul, of course, makes history, writes most of the New Testament. But what happened to Barnabas and his mentoring of his cousin, Mark? Well, Mark would share the good news of Jesus, even shares it at this very moment, as he would go on to write the Gospel of Mark. Barnabas had the ability to see not a person's checkered past, not their limitations, not their past failures. He always saw their full potential. That's what encouragers do. And then whatever happened to Paul and Barnabas? What happened after their broken bromance? Well, eventually they did reconcile. Paul mentions them in a favorable way in his letter to the Corinthians. Encouragers are people who see the glass full. Encouragers see the full potential of the person before them. And then finally, encouragement itself is fully contagious. Our scripture today was written by the Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Thessalonica. And what he's wanting to do is reward good conduct. This group of believers, they're known to encourage one another. So Paul's saying here, encourage, keep on encouraging one another. No doubt, when the Apostle Paul took pen to parchment, he thought about Barnabas, how Barnabas had encouraged him in his life and his ministry. And this gift of encouragement continues to spread, in this case, to one Christian community. Friends, in this world that is filled with cynicism, suspicion, and lack of trust, what we can offer to the world is a contagious, encouraging spirit. So, friends, let's all plan to up our encouragement game in the spirit of St. Barnabas, people who always see the glass full, people who always see the full potential of the person before us. And may this church, like the church at Thessalonica, Epworth Church, be renowned for the encouragement we share with one another. May it be so. Amen.